Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast. We engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
Jeff, I feel like every time we come in to record an episode
in our studio,
it's right after you've been on a trip. You're traveling a lot. You're an international man of travel.
It is true. But this was not an international trip, this latest one. Well,
Florida can be considered international.
Well, where we went, we felt like we were in a foreign country. Okay. So my niece just graduated from high school in DeLand, Florida. My brother says.
Isn't that the DeLand?
It's DeLand that flows with milk and honey.
Stupid I laughed.
It's about an hour north of Orlando. So we went to the graduation and then promptly went to the most magical place on earth.
Well, you got to go. Yeah.
Did I say magical or most expensive?
It's both.
Is it?
Yeah.
The most magically expensive place on earth. Golly. Like your money magically disappears.
It's ridiculous. I don't know why I thought it'd be the same price as it was 10 years ago when we went. You know, but
yeah.
That's just because you're old.
I am old. I felt it.
All right, favorite ride.
Favorite ride at Magic Kingdom?
I get all those parks confused.
Magic Kingdom with the castle.
Yeah.
So that one, they have a new ride called Tron, and it was legit. It was fun.
Okay.
So you're on the motorcycle, like Tron motorcycle, and it shoots you out of the basement studio where it's all lit up like Tron. It looks really cool. So you blaze out of it, and then the rest of it's just in this black. It's kind of like Space Mountain. Everything's dark. It was super cool. Kids loved it. But that was pretty fun. But even in that, like, just because I bought an expensive ticket for all seven of us to go, you still have to get in a queue to ride the ride. And if you're not in the queue, you can't ride.
Wait. So you said you bought an expensive ticket.
Uh-huh.
Was that be tickets?
Yes.
Okay. So you bought tickets. Did you, seven you, tickets. You bought an upgraded ticket?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, they're just expensive in general. I'm just curious why you put that in the beginning.
We bought the economy version of Disney, and it was still
But can't you
ridiculous.
Buy an upgraded Fast Pass?
It's not called a Fast Pass. It was called a Genie Pass.
Ooh.
Yeah. But same concept. But that's, you know, goodness, that's another ticket on top of a ticket.
So you could be like, have the Genie bottle or your Genie ticket, and you get
to skip people.
Oh.
Do you point and laugh at him when you skip?
I didn't
show up. He was the one getting laughed at.
I was getting laughed at.
It's like, look at this economy.
You sound like a Gen Xer.
Well, so the queue thing, like 7 a.m. the day of, you have to get on the app and you have to click to get in it.
That's
and my wife was
stressed already.
She was ready at 7 and clicked it, click. And she was, we were group 51.
Yeah.
That's how fast.
Probably some bots in there doing it.
My sister-in-law did that when we went a few years ago, and it's kind of stressful because you wake up and you're like, oh man, especially if you want to go to the ones that your kids want to go to, you're like, you know, clicking the whole time. It's like a lottery.
It is.
I'm the guy that buys the Genie Pass because I just don't have time for all that.
Don't have time.
So, well, this explains why it's the most magical place to spend your money for you. You upgrade everything.
I do, but I only go once every 10 years. So,
yeah. It was sad because my wife and I are at the stage where we're like, you know what? Hey, guys, let's just get on the train and ride around the park. We'll cool off and rest a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was great. The whole reason we went to Magic Kingdom was for the twins. They're five. Just to watch them experience it. For them, everything's real.
They loved it,
didn't they? Oh, my goodness, yes. It was a blast. And they could pretty much ride everything there. There were only like two rides they could ride at 5 years old, which was pretty cool.
And you were there for what, 24 hours? How long were you? I mean,
13.
In the park.
13
Did they
hours.
Completely pass out at the end of the, I mean,
as soon as the fireworks show was over.
So did the adults.
Yeah. But then you have to take the ferry ride to the park and, you know, whatever, the little tram
parking
to get
lot.
To your car. Oh. Golly, it was another hour.
This is one
that.
Plug for why there should be a fanny pack at Disney when you go. That's well, that's so convenient.
Did you not have a fanny pack?
Oh, no, I absolutely did. Aaron didn't want me to, but I definitely snuck it under my shirt.
I'm sure. Oh, you're not allowed to bring it?
No, Aaron didn't want me to bring it.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Because it was going to be in all the pictures.
Yeah, joke's on her.
What did you need in the fanny pack?
Just stuff, man.
What did you not need?
Chapstick.
And oh, you know, his routine, his hand lotion and stuff.
That's true. Oh, my goodness.
Got to stay fresh.
No.
Some deodorant. Some crackers. You know, he pulls all the snacks.
Dude, we pulled all the economy stops because we found out that you could go to
the economy tickets.
Any of the restaurants and be like, hey, I need ice water, and they give it to you for free. So we went back like 800 times.
Did you change your voice or something?
No, not at all.
Oh, I need ice water.
It says again, bring it. Oh, man, it was.
Get my mustache out of the fanny pack and going back for water.
it was wild. But then the next day we went to Universal Islands of Adventure, and we just took the big kids to that one. That's more of like an older, like the littles wouldn't have been able to ride anything really anyway. But I tell you, I think something happens to your brain the older you get. Like it just gets looser.
What?
And you just can't do those rides anymore.
Oh, when you're talking about when you, I thought you were talking about in general. When you ride a roller coaster, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Well, so look. I love riding roller coasters.
I used to.
But I cannot ride no teacups.
Oh, no.
Those I can't things do anything are horrible.
I will, but yes.
I can't even watch it like somebody else doing
it.
Yeah. I'm a hard no.
It's sneaky, too, because like you walk up on the teacups and you're like, oh, look at that. And then if you get in one and you're constantly spinning around. We went years ago and a buddy of mine went with us, too, and he just was laughing and spinning the thing so fast. And at one time, like, you know, you go to close your eyes and that makes it worse.
Oh,
and
No.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you, the thing they have too now is the 4D rides with the screens. And so you're moving through it and then all that. Like, I
thought
can't
you
do
said
that either.
4D, like 40 in a
4D, 40 rides.
I wish that they
that's called would, the train.
That was the train.
That's
the train. I was going to say that was the train.
the waterlog ride. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't like those either. Those with the screens.
Yeah.
I like the real.
Yeah. I agree.
Roller coaster.
I mean, it's cool, the technology that's there, but I don't know.
Safer. Anyway. Probably safer in the long run. Like, you know, probably. You're not going to get stranded upside down or
true.
Derailed.
That's true. Yeah. So. Yeah. But anyway.
So you guys had a good time.
We had a good time. Man, super proud of my niece. She was the student government class president of her senior class of 600 graduates. Wow. Yeah, it was a big class. And so she got to give a speech, and man, she knocked it out of the park. It was great.
Good.
And she actually referenced my brother that passed and just kind of used that.
Which
as
would
part
have been
her
uncle, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That she never met.
So this is Wayne's daughter?
Yes.
Yeah. So shout out to Wayne.
Shout out to Wayne. Wayne listens all the way in DeLand.
Even though that's a bad joke, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's
funny.
Full of
it's
bad
here
jokes.
We are talking about it.
It's bad, but it's funny. So I guess it makes it good.
Right.
I mean, so
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know, one of the things I got to do, I got to go to his church while I was there. I'd never been to his
and
church.
And he is just for the listeners.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is awesome. He is a senior adult pastor. That's how old he is.
Well, he was a youth pastor.
No, children's pastor.
Oh, even, okay, yeah. I guess that's different.
Yeah. He said children's ministry and senior adult ministry is pretty similar. It's just now he doesn't have to get permission slips.
Okay, we'll leave that joke alone.
That's hilarious.
No, he loves it, and he does a great job. My brother
truly.
He
relates to him.
He is Sorry. One of them. he's one of the nicest people on the planet, man. He really is. And so we had a great time. He was there and all that. But I got to go to his church, and his pastor did a great message and really challenging. And, you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is, you know, as we pursue God, the importance of getting plugged in the church and the importance of that, the being connected, finding ways to serve. And so, you know, in that, you know, here at our church, we do what's called Starting Gate, which is for new members to kind of find out about our church vision, kind of expectations, all those types of things. And, you know, in it, we share that statistics show that if someone visits your church and they don't get connected with, you know, a connect group or a ministry within 6 months, they're gone. Right. And so, just the importance of, you just can't come to church. You got to get connected. You got to get plugged in. And so,
well, I like this. I don't mean to cut you off.
You did.
I did. I didn't mean to, because I thought you were taking a break.
But that's like saying, hey, with all due respect, I'm about to disrespect you. That's what that is.
No. I thought you were taking a break.
Go ahead, Tom.
You know, this is a great topic because there are some people who will say, hey, do I even need to go to church?
Right.
Is church a requirement for me to be a Christian or to be an, you know, or important for me? You know, can I still achieve what God has for me if I don't go to church? So right. Quick answer. How would you answer that, Justin?
Well, man, that was a tricky game of hot potato. Man, honestly, I think about the quote that Tony Evans has shared before where, you know, he talks about, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And he says, and that's right. You know, salvation is through faith alone and Christ alone. You also don't have to go home to be married, but stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. Mm, you know, like okay. I've always looked at that quote as kind of like, a, you know, we always want like a clear black and white. Like, tell me what it is or isn't, and I'll do it or I won't, mm-hmm. right? And I think there's so much more to being a part of the church. There's community. There's accountability. We've talked about that on a few episodes back. You know, accountability is huge. Right. So, I mean, I think it is healthy.
I think I think it's important.
Yeah.
We were just doing a study, and was it J.D. Greer that talked about this or someone? Or maybe it was the other one. Anyway. And, you know, I think part of where... Paul is talking about the church and the importance of that. I believe that he really says, yes, you need to be connected to a Bible believing and preaching church in order to be effective, in order to be, you know, to grow your relationship with the Lord, that we were designed, you know, that for that purpose to be a part of this body.
Yeah. That's why it's healthy. It's commanded, you know, too. There's, you know, looking at you, Jeff, I'm sure you've got something to share out too, but that's why like each believer is got these gifts and things that they're to kind of bring into the body of the church. And it's like the body, there's different parts, mm-hmm. you know, y'all make fun of me and my sandals. Right. So like, oof, you know, I'm a foot, I need to be the best foot possible for the body, right. For balance, for
super
walking,
super
comfortable, right. Not trying to be flashy, just comfortable. You know,
this
somebody
is one
else.
Of those times I wish we had video.
I'm wearing shoes tonight, buddy.
Still, I could show a picture.
Yeah. So all those parts play a role, right. So yeah, I think it's commanded. I think it's healthy.
And to back around to your point that you started with, Jeff, I definitely agree and certainly is in my own experience is being connected and actively involved in the church is really critical and key for an ongoing long-term consistency.
Yeah, and I would say most people see that and understand that, but what do you hear are the reasons why people won't? Why do they not want to come to church?
Well,
I was thinking about the it's convenient sometimes to not go.
Sure.
Right? It takes up time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think there's, you know, hey, people at church are hypocrites, and there's this stigma mm-hmm. about church in general. All they want is my money and those types of things.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I'll never forget my dad. My dad's a man of few words, but he invited a guy that he worked with to church. And he said, man, I don't want to go to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. He said, well, why do you want to spend eternity with them?
Ooh, wow, that's powerful.
And true. You know, it's true. Not everybody that comes to church are believers. You know, there's a lot of people are here trying to figure it out and understand it. And, you know, we come in with this expectation that people are supposed to be perfect and be just like Christ. But, you know, a bunch of hurting people trying to figure all this stuff out too, you know, but I would say church hurt's probably the biggest one, biggest reason why people are hesitant to get connected.
Do you think that church hurt is because they had a certain expectation that the people of the church should be perfect and when in fact people of the church are really just as sick as everybody else?
No, I think it runs the spectrum. Sure. I think there's some that probably had an expectation and there's those that maybe, you know, are still infants in the faith and they have this expectation. So, you know, it falls short or something happens and they're like, oh, well, man, I knew something was too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Or I think you know, sometimes have people that maybe don't know the Lord and it's just this like body of community and people. And then it's, you know, it's like, man, like that falls short. Like, mm-hmm. I think there are various things, and that's why the only constant is, like to what you mentioned earlier, Tommy, is a Bible preaching, believing church that's speaking the truth of the gospel, that's then being in, you know, inserted into the hearts of the people. Like, that's how the church comes together as a body. And so, I don't think it's any one thing, because people's feelings are going to be valid in why they feel hurt.
And I was going to say, there's going to be some bad actors in the church that are mean or that are, you know, that are causing
a critic or something, you know,
fraudster.
Thank you. Man, it feels so good.
You're welcome. Yeah.
That, how did I describe that? I just want to give a shout out validated. To one of our very dedicated listeners, Miss
First
Lynn.
Name only. Yep,
Miss Lynn. Look, I'm not a rookie at this.
Justin, we're all rookies. Justin,
we got six episodes in our belt.
Justin Pembroke, Haley, y'all basically gave my social security number out on the dadgum first episode. So, all right, but
we
anyway.
Did that so you put a security freeze on your credit report.
So I went, no wonder I can't spend anything.
There you go.
You're welcome, Christine.
So our dedicated listener, Miss Lynn, she just, it's like, what I say?
You felt validated.
And it was like so sweet. How sweet? It was like honey
on a sugar cube.
I mean, that's sweet.
That's too sweet.
That fraudster was used in an email that she received in the body of an email. I'm just like,
because we had called you a fraudster.
For using it. And like you're saying, I'm making up words, and here I am.
Well, I mean, the look on your face when you said it, you had a lot of doubt.
No, I didn't. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? But, okay. Circling this back.
Yeah,
around.
Come on.
Let's get it back.
Let's bring it back. A couple of questions I have for you guys on this topic are, you know, Justin, you shared your story, and Tommy, you shared yours. You guys have heard mine. So we have different experiences as far as our upbringing with church. But what would you say, whether it was childhood, teenage years, young adult, what area of the church has the Lord used the most for growing in your faith? Like when you were connected in what, per se? Tossing that up to you guys.
We didn't get any preparation for this.
No preparation.
Okay. Well, it... Can you repeat the question?
All right, I'll go. So I would say one big thing was the guys group, for sure. I think that was both accountability, challenging, diving in, going deeper, having that space to ask questions that sometimes in a service you really can't ask other than just the thoughts that you have, you know, from what the message is being shared. Or even in a small group, you may not feel comfortable asking, you know, raising your hand, like, oh, I should probably know that story or that thing.
Right.
So definitely the smaller guys group was awesome. But then even in parallel to that, I would say small group. It's where it became a little more intimate and get to know people. You know, so those two things were huge for me.
Well, your group is not small. So let's just call that connect group.
We'll call it a group.
Okay.
We'll call it a group. Yeah.
Justin leads a class that's not small.
Facilitates. I don't
facilitate.
Like the word lead.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you stand up there behind the podium.
He's the lead facilitator.
Lead facilitator. No, he's a good, I go in that class. My wife and I go to that class. It's very good. So 100% agree. When we started our men's, what did we call it? Did we have a cool name for it back then? The Lion's Den or?
No.
The
wolf,
definitely not
Wolf
that.
Pack?
No.
No?
Men's group.
Maybe that's something you always had in your mind that never... We didn't allow to come out.
I don't think we had a name for it. I don't think we had a name for it. But anyway, there was like three or four of us that started at first, and it just, that connection really was what helped build my just walk with the Lord and just frame and shape it, because I had you guys there as really good role models to help me with that. I will say it also requires some desire on the participants' part to want to put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to make yourself.
You got to be vulnerable. Have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's good. And, you know, I think think back to growing up in my church, there were a couple of people that within the youth group, whether that was my Sunday school class or the actual big youth group, where the leader saw something in me, pulled me aside, maybe held me a little bit more accountable, or, you know, challenged me to do some things, lead out, that really kind of had me thinking differently and step out. And those things, I think about those specific people. And even on the mission field as a journeyman, as a single guy, you know, one of the missionaries just taking me under his wing, you know, and I really seeing accountability, like, what is true accountability? He's like, he showed up at my apartment and he was like, "Hey, your security guard's name is Antonio." And I shared my story with him and told him that you're going to come back and share the gospel with him. You talk about accountability.
Pass.
Right. I was like, in Spanish?
I like how you immediately change the way you talk when you
Antonio.
Said, yeah, Antonio.
He's bilingual.
I'm getting ready for my mission trip to Colombia. I'm getting ready. I mean, you got to speak with the accent.
No, you do it good. You do it well.
You don't want to say hola, you know? So, no.
You know, I'll say this too. So, as I got plugged into the church, I mean, there, I have certainly personal hobbies and things that I like to do that I started finding out that, hey, I could apply those. I like Justin doesn't want to be called a leader. I have a problem calling it a gift. I don't want to sound, you know, but the Lord has blessed me with some ability to do some things that I like to do. And then I found out, hey, there's opportunity that I can do that at church. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that goes for any person. It, you know, you might be good at administration. You might be good or enjoy planning. You might be good and enjoy playing music or teaching, or you might find certain gifts that you didn't know that you were good at, and you can find a place in church to to use that. The Lord can use that gift, and you can, you know, edify the body of Christ in church by you know, volunteering.
And sometimes I feel like, you know, some people are waiting for some specific thing. Like, unless it's this one thing that I'm halfway good at, then I'm not going to do anything else. And I think, you know, and Tommy, to your point, like, I mean, you jumped in and helped with the kids.
Yeah.
And like, there's kids that come now that weren't coming because you're back there, you know, and like, you were, I guess I'll do it, you know, like, you've never done that before. And then you did it again.
Had a blast.
Right.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
And connecting with those kids and giving them something to look forward to. And they're like really bummed out when that season or session.
Like, I showed up to teach one week in your absence. And they're like, "Man, Tommy ain't here."
Well, I used to pay them in suckers and stuff a lot too. So there's some
rivalry. I think too, like, that's where people, like you said, are waiting on like this sign or like this parting of the clouds to kind of say, "Hey, do this." And to the example you used with Tommy, you know, I think we've got to remember that, like, the more we desire this relationship with the Lord, like, things get a little easier to discern, because it's like, okay, is it serving the body, its people in some need or some way? And even if it's for a season,
right?
Like, you're still doing something in that. You can find, you know, what the Lord may have used you for that season, or you're finding things out that the Lord's put on your heart to maybe do, you know, on a bigger scale later on. But this is just like that stepping stone. And so I think we sometimes overcomplicate it with trying to figure out what it is, and then we hold out for whatever it is, and then we could have been doing stuff all along the way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But yeah, I agree.
You know, and so for the other part, you know, I play in the worship band, play the drums. I, you know, obviously we talked about this before, grew up playing music. And this, I absolutely, is 13 years. Let's see, I'm going to do my math. 2011, 12 years I've been here playing the drums, and I love every single minute of it. And it is certainly not about me, but it is an offering that I give to the Lord. Like, that's my prayer, is that it's all, that it's the offering I give, and that I not be the spotlight, but doing my part to help, you know, worship Lord. That's the way I worship.
Yeah. That's why we strategically placed you in that back corner away from the spotlight.
Boom. Nailed it.
Now, I will say, though, that sometimes in that, you know, some people have multiple gifts and they don't get to use them all the time. Like, I really could be a lead singer.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, that's why there's tryouts.
And auto-tune.
Like, they literally, I have the most microphones around me because I play.
I could see you, like, singing like a T-Pain, you know, like the little...
I cannot sing. I cannot sing. Thing? Like, if I would have played piano or guitar growing up, I would have right. been accustomed to hearing the sounds and probably could be on. I cannot hit a tune with my voice because I grew up playing the drums. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I play an acoustic set. I love it. We got a bunch of drum microphones around, but they're strategically placed not to pick up my voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then all of the sound engineers know not to, you know, when... to mute. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of going back and, you know, if you're listening and you're like, man, I just struggle going into a new group, struggle trying to insert myself into a ministry, I would just encourage you to know that, you know, especially as a minister, like we are desiring more people to be a part and to get plugged in and find somebody that you know already and say, will you go to this class with me? You know, just eliminate any of those barriers, those uncomfortable situations. You know, like Justin's group's large, you know, it's 20 couples, you know, just about in there. And, you know, and you walk in and you're like, man, there's nowhere to even sit. You know, find somebody you know, and don't let that be an excuse to not get plugged in, because we see it over and over again when people aren't connected. What happens with that. And then we see what happens when you do get connected, right? We talk about the men's group a lot because of that connection, that type of diving deep, that's life changing. And that's what we need to be a part of. And so I really want to see, you know, people in our entire church, you know, my goal as a missions pastor is everybody's involved in the mission, whether you can go or not, there's a way for you to be involved. And in the same way you come to church, there's a way for you to be connected. And, you know, just kind of eliminate any of those reasons. And so in all of that, I mean, is there anything you guys want to, let's end with this. What gaps do you see right now for people getting connected? Is there an area where people, people are like, man, I would love to, but there's nothing for me, like in my stage of life.
I think that that's the false impression. I think that in most churches, let me just say, it depends on what church, the size of church you go to. But, and I would say our church is medium here. We're not a mega church by any means. But I think that there's something for everyone, whatever the season of life you're in, whatever your personality is. You know,
what would you say to somebody that is currently single, right? And they come into a class full of couples. You know, like thinking about those life situations. Like that, like we just recently started a college and career class, really hitting it up hard because that was a huge gap. Mm-hmm. You know, people would disappear for a couple of years, you know.
I think the single one's a good one, you know, and that's where, like, that's where I think we look at, like, we have the tendency to look at something like that scenario and the group is the answer. And then if someone feels weird because they're single and they're in a group that's got couples, well, I mean, you'd find that in anything else you do too, you know? So in my mind, I've been really excited about especially what some of the folks have done in the small group, where like they're connecting outside of the small group. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a workout group on Saturdays, or like for like the ladies and the moms and all that stuff. So like those little things outside. So it's like the group is where you come and be fed and have conversation and good, you know, dialogue on biblical things and all that. But then it's also, it goes beyond that. Like that's just the foundation for the stuff that you do outside of that as well. There's community that gets put around that as well. So in my mind, it's like, yes, I could see that being a concern or a fear or whatever, but like, man, jump in and then that's where the church needs to be the church. And then you come around people. Cause I think that is definitely a thought that some might have,
right?
You know, I think schedules is another one. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to kind of also look at and go, man, don't really have time, you know, so we might go to church, but none of the, you know, none of the other stuff. And that's where I'm like, man, I just personally, I don't want to get to the end of my life and go, you know, I wish I would have done a little more, or did I miss out on using a gift or a talent, whatever it is. And don't get me wrong, life happens. It gets busy, especially in the young kid stage. But man, if we're honestly seeking and asking, like, hey, where do you want to use me? Mm-hmm. And at that point, again, it becomes what we make complicated. It becomes easier to go, if the Lord speaks, then got to obey.
I tell you, the Lord gave me just a ministry on how to help people connect that visit the church. And one thing that I started doing was, if a new family with kids comes to the church, I introduce myself to them and I try to set up a lunch date with the dad. I feel like if the dad can get plugged in and connected, it's easier for the whole family. And I've seen that to be true. Yeah. And it's really beneficial, and met some really great men where otherwise I wouldn't, and they may not be connected.
How's that going for you? Had we not done that. How's that going? I mean, is that successful?
Yeah, super successful.
You're probably not calling it a lunch date though with the guy.
I don't call
it. There's like two or three that have come to the guys group.
Yeah. Thanks for making it back serious, Justin.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, there's like two or three that I remember because you mentioned the names. And I'm like, where'd you meet them? And you're like, they were new to the children's area and, you know, had lunch. I'm like, well, man, that's ingenious.
Yeah. By the way,
you have a knack for doing stuff like that.
A knack.
Yeah. You have a gift for seeing things like that where, like, it's so simple, yet it's probably not on the radar.
It does.
Because people are busy, and yet you're like, hey, I did this thing, and it was like wildly phenomenal and successful. And it's like,
and it's, most of the time it is. And I think that was one of the things coming back from the mission field. It was just like, man, church is simple. It really is, but we complicate it. Mm-hmm. So it's just relationships and taking time to build them. So,
Jeff is a smart guy. You're a smart guy.
Thanks, Tommy.
You're
welcome. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy.
Well, guys, thanks for listening. I pray that you are plugged in. And if you are plugged in, help others get plugged in.
Yeah.
Take them out to lunch. Introduce yourself. Hear their
story. There's so much opportunity out there. Take advantage of it. You will not regret it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.